Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. HIIT, high intensity interval training. Let's talk about all the benefits, because I think a lot of people are afraid of this. Like, as soon as you hear HIIT, it's this either a buzzword or you think it's not good for the body. There's just so much.
I feel like everyone thinks about jumping. Like, as soon as you hear the word HIIT, it's like so much jumping, so many burpees, so much, you know, knee pain, back pain. That's when the thing people might be triggered, because they're like, oh, HIIT workout. I did one of those once and it was really rough on my knees, or it was really rough on my back.
And really all HIIT is, it's interval training. So you're alternating periods of relatively intense work with periods of rest. Mm-hmm. Intense work doesn't have to mean jumping. This can be so many different, you know, areas of exercise that you're doing, including intense walking.
Yeah.
And then periods of rest.
And I think the key word there is relative. You know, like, intensity is always going to be relative to the person, because what's intense for me is not the same thing that's intense for my mom, is not the same thing that's intense for Jen. And so, again, depending on the type of interval training that you're doing, we're looking at getting to like 80 to 90% of your max for whatever period of time. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about why that's so beneficial to be pushing up towards your max intensity for all the different systems of the body.
Exactly. We're going to go over your cardiovascular health, your metabolic health, your musculoskeletal health benefits, the lymphatic, the neurologic system, and then how these are really impacted, especially as we age, which is what we need to pay attention to. And I think we're HIIT really, you know, a lot of those benefits are so needed as we age.
Yeah, because again, as we age, people are always thinking of these things like, oh, my knee pain, or oh, my back pain, or oh, I'm losing muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've interviewed people before like Stacey Sims, or, you know, other individuals who are so, you know, forward thinking and pushing this high intensity as we age. Mm-hmm. And again, that's where I love the Roll Into HIIT program that you collaborated on with Jill, because you go through those different intensities. Yeah. And the great thing about each video is that you're doing the most intense version. There's another guy, Adam, on screen who's incredible, but he's doing kind of the middle intensity. And then Jill's doing a lower impact, but intense version of the exercise.
Yeah.
For her. You know, Jill's had a hip replacement. She's talked with you about how your HIIT programs and stuff have really gotten her back into feeling like she can do those intense exercises again.
Well, even and start to jump, because she knew after coming out of that hip replacement, if she didn't start to improve her power, it was only going to get less as she continued to go and age. And so her physical therapist, as she was, because I wasn't working with her one-on-one, but her physical therapist said, you need to start getting back into some power exercises. And so her doing some of the HIIT workouts that we had available at the time, she started easing into it, and all of a sudden she's jumping, she's feeling more empowered on her feet and doing these exercises that she never thought she would be able to get back into.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know she was doing the HIIT workouts until all of a sudden, like, we were together for something, I don't remember, and she's like, oh yeah, I've been doing, you know, at the time, the Optimal Body and doing your HIIT workouts. And I'm like, what?
Really?
Yeah. I was so shocked, but like, to hear how that has benefited her, especially coming off of a hip replacement surgery, I feel like you don't hear that.
Especially because she's a health professional. Yeah. And you know, like, it's always kind of like, feels good inside when somebody that you respect and that you look to as an authority figure is doing your workouts as well. And so we'll have the Roll Into HIIT program linked up down in the show notes. Yeah. Get into that. If you're somebody who doesn't like high intensity training, or even if you do like HIIT workouts, but sometimes you notice some knee or back pain creeping in, this is an incredible program. Jill's got her expertise where she's doing myofascial release and rollouts. Mm-hmm. Jen has her expertise where she's educating through all the different levels and intensities of different HIIT programs.
Yeah. And there's different, like, time intervals of what we use, And it's just really about finding those overall body movements as to what's going to be most beneficial as you're kind of moving through this and why. Yeah. So it's really a full body approach to using this kind of HIIT training, which is just something that I love educating into.
That was just kind of to preface going through all of the body systems now.
Yes.
And you mentioned a bunch of them, cardiovascular, metabolic, our nervous system, even musculoskeletal, lymphatic. You know, if we talk about the cardiovascular system, you know, of course, that's how our heart and our veins work and how efficient our heart is. Mm-hmm. And it's been found that HIIT is so much more effective if you do 20 minutes of HIIT versus 20 minutes of steady state cardio. Mm-hmm. You're going to have so much more benefit on your cardiovascular system in improvements in your heart rate, your blood pressure, your VO2 max, things like that, by doing HIIT versus just steady state cardio, which would be like running on a treadmill or riding a bike.
Well, because if we think about it, it's the same, like let's look at strength training and how much we have to overload the system in order to start to make changes. Well, when we're doing high intensity training, we are making our blood vessels really have to pump and move blood and constrict and dilate and do all these things at a higher rate and a higher intensity. So all of a sudden, we're going to help to improve what's called our endothelial function and how these vessels are moving, dilating and constricting, you know, to help pump that blood and push that blood through the body. Sure. So then we're getting more oxygenated blood into our system.
Yeah, it benefits every part of the chain when it comes to our cardiovascular system. Like you said, the compliance of the vessel, the strength of the heart, our ability of our lungs to get the oxygen in. So really, this is like the cardiorespiratory and cardiovascular system bundled into one. But these are also things that we see as we age. When we get past 25 years of age, we notice that our VO2 max, which is just a kind of a biomarker that tells us how much oxygen our lungs and our heart can deliver to our tissues when we're doing work, will decline by 10% each decade, right? If we aren't doing some proactive training like this.
Yes, exactly. And we saw that after 25 years of age, and there was actually a study that looked at HIIT training 3 times a week just for 8 weeks and how it improved the VO2 max capacity by 12%.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's like saying that we're reversing your age by a decade.
Decade plus.
By improving your VO2 max in 8 weeks of HIIT training. That's what's crazy to me.
Definitely. So like you think if you're declining 10% a decade by not doing any training like this and you just train for 8 weeks, you give yourself another decade back basically. Yes. And of course, hopefully then you sustain some of that high intensity training because of how amazing you feel in your body. But there are also tons of metabolic benefits, which when we talk about metabolic, you think metabolism. And one huge thing in metabolism is insulin or glucose regulation, you know, when we kind of think diabetes or type 2 diabetes, how our body uses our fuel stores, because glucose is stored in the blood, in the muscles, in our liver as glycogen, and then it gets used up by the muscles as we work, as we do work. And when we do such high intense training, like in HIIT workouts, we actually increase our insulin sensitivity. So our body's much more ready to take up glucose that's in the blood.
Mm-hmm. And I think like this is such a hot topic right now, you know, in the health and wellness world, when we're talking about wearing our glucose monitors and trying to moderate and pay attention to what's happening to glucose spikes after we eat certain foods and everything. And if we know that overall, we can help make this improvement in how our body's responding based on how we're working out, not even what we're intaking into our body, but just based on how we're moving. You know, if we can start to make those improvements, especially if you know you might be tipping into the possibly getting type 2 diabetes, like this is going to be so highly effective in starting to reverse some of those systems.
And some of the studies showed that it doesn't have to be a high volume. You don't have to be doing this 4, 5, 6 times a week. Like a low volume goes a long way, especially if, like you said, it's progressively overloading you. I mean, and when we talk about the relativity of what's intense for one person, like high intensity walking, you know, high intensity interval walking was shown to be much more effective than moderate exercise over a 12-week program in improving this
insulin
sensitivity and insulin regulation or glucose regulation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so starting to understand that this doesn't, again, this comes back to the relative work for your own body. Like, where is that you kind of set up that level and know that there's always modifications. You don't have to be doing all the jumpy jump stuff during a HIIT workout for you to still find that higher intensity and work at that higher capacity with those rest breaks and still be doing that interval training.
Yeah. And so kind of like you were talking about with Jill, if we move into the musculoskeletal realm, mm-hmm. you know, musculoskeletal, we're talking our muscles, we're talking our bones, and something that's very common is what we call sarcopenia, mm-hmm. which is progressive loss of muscle mass as we age. And we've talked about this before on podcasts. It's like they say, I don't even know what the stat is, but beyond age of 40 or something, you're losing 1% of your muscle mass every year.
Well, we do have a stat. Muscle mass decreases approximately 3-8% per decade after the age of 30.
After the age of 30.
Which is pretty young, right?
Yeah. And again, I think we've mentioned this on podcasts before, like, so those are averages, right? But we all know, or we might have someone in mind who has started strength training or has started doing high intensity training in their late 40s, 50s, or even beyond, who mm-hmm. has gained muscle mass. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean it's a sure thing. Like, no matter how much you train, no matter what you do, you're going to lose this muscle mass. And this is where high intensity training comes in. You can prevent or reverse this loss of muscle mass as you age by pushing the body in a systematic, progressive way. Mm-hmm. Also in a way, like when you were talking about Jill, that prevents the loss of power. Power is how fast we can move in a controlled manner. Power is so important. When we worked in hospitals, the first thing you start noticing is people can't get up from a chair mm-hmm. or a toilet. That's mm-hmm. a lack of power.
Yep.
Often they might have the strength, but they don't know how to coordinate that in a fast, high velocity manner to even get up from a chair.
And that's what's going to increase our fall risk. That is what's going to potentially lead to death. Like, fall risk is so highly important as yeah. we continue to age, because we see such a higher percentage of people starting to die earlier. If you fall, you can't get off the ground, or you break something and you don't have someone around you to help, you know, like it does have a huge impact, and we need to start paying attention to yeah. this aspect of power, not just muscular strength, but how we're using that strength. And we do so many tests as physical therapists of, to, you know, how fast someone can sit to stand from a chair.
Or walking velocity.
How fast someone can walk and turn around. You know, we do so much of these tests because it is so important and so crucial for our yeah. health.
It's just a huge cascade of things. Like when we bring up falls, like, it's not just strength, it's not just power, it's not just balance. Like, there's a lot of components in there, yeah. you know, the coordination of things. But doing HIIT training, as we're going through, you're going to improve so many of these things, like bone density. Mm-hmm. You mentioned falling, having a fracture, how that correlates with mortality mm-hmm. in the next, you know, year or 4 years. Having a fall and a fracture drastically increases the risk of mortality, where if we're doing HIIT training, we're going to improve our strength, likely improve our coordination during certain movements, improve our bone density. So right there, we're starting to bring down our risk of having a fall or a fracture.
Yeah. And we have to realize too, we're doing this kind of work, we're not only going to be improving our muscle strength, like even though we're not doing direct, you know, progressive overload, slow muscle building, bodybuilding, you're still improving your muscle strength. But not only that, but you're improving your tendon strength, your elasticity within the tissues. You know, we're improving so much feedback all across our connective tissues, not just our muscle.
Yeah. And so many stats that could go along with this that we found from the research, like our power declines at twice the rate of our strength. Kind of like I said, people who I've worked with in a hospital, they might have mm-hmm. the strength, but their power or their ability to use that strength quickly has declined much faster. After the age of 40, our power tends to decline up to 17% every decade. So again, even faster than the percentage of muscle loss that you were mm-hmm. you know, talking about earlier, which again, comparing muscle loss to power isn't a direct apples to apples comparison. But
no, but it's just so incredibly important to continue to point out, right, that it's not just about gaining strength. It's not just about doing slow movements, but we have to add in that power component. And if you're not doing that in your life, it's something to start paying attention to.
Especially like having the strength. And this isn't just important to people who are aging, right? We're bringing up these things because everybody listening to this, at least I hope, is hoping that they're going to be 60 or 70 or 80 years old someday, right? And like we've mentioned, these declines can start in our 30s, in our 40s. So if we're training now, we're just elevating that baseline that we have to build on or to maintain into our old age. And as we age, again, if we do have a fracture or a need for a surgery or a need for a joint replacement, having that strength and power going into surgery drastically improves your prognosis for being able to get back to function after the surgery.
Totally. And we have to also look at, you know, and I think a lot of people we know listening are women, and we will eventually go into menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, right? And we have to see that as we, especially postmenopausal, we are, you know, reduced in estrogen a lot. And estrogen is so important to help with muscle strength.
Yeah.
And so after we lose that, we tend to lose muscle strength. We tend to lose that elasticity within the tissues. We start to see a little bit more hip fractures, joint replacements, and a decrease in that VO2 max. And so if we want to start to work on these things, we have to start now, even if you're already gone through menopause, right? We have to still start now. And this is something that, again, Dr. Stacey Sims talks about a lot. She has a whole book on menopause and how to continue to be strong, you know, despite going and experiencing menopause. And she talks about doing this interval training at least 2 times a week. And this can look like 10 minutes. This can look like after a workout, but she recommends you're still doing your strength training, but you're adding in this high intensity component at least 2 times a week, because it's going to help to combat those effects from estrogen that we're losing as we start to go through this period.
Absolutely. And so another important system of the body we've definitely mentioned before on podcasts is the lymphatic system, or the garbage sewage system of the body. it's what works along with our circulatory system, but it essentially takes toxins out of our body and pumps them through. But when I say pumps them through, it's not an active pumping system. Like our circulatory system has the heart, the lymphatic system does not have an active pump. It's a passive system, which means it's pumped by our movement, by our muscle contractions, by our breath. So doing something like high intensity work gets us pumping those muscles a significant amount more than we normally are, which is going to move that lymphatic system.
Especially when we focus on HIIT, particularly using those larger muscle groups or whole body kind of movements and stuff. And that's usually what you're doing when you're looking at HIIT training. You're looking at those more power dynamic whole body movements.
Not we're a not lot of usually bicep
just
curls.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna
not
say.
A lot just of bicep
just
curls
doing a bicep curl or moving your leg, you know. You're doing a whole body movement. And so this is gonna be so beneficial in getting that whole contraction to happen from your body in order to help to pump those fluids.
Yeah. And then one of the final systems to talk about is the neurologic system, brain, nervous system. Again, doing HIIT workouts has been shown to significantly increase what's called our BDNF, or our brain-derived neurofactor, which is...
Neurotrophic factor.
Neurotrophic factor, which is basically just a powerhouse hormone for the brain.
Yes.
To increase our mental acuity, to increase brain healing and cognitive function.
Mm-hmm. And then when we also look at just if we're going to be improving how we're getting, you know, our blood flow out into our body, we're also including that up into the brain. So if we're getting better blood flow and oxygen into our brain, then we're going to help those neurological systems, especially as we age. We're looking at a decline in our brain to be able to work, right? And we're all afraid of going into Alzheimer's and different things. And not that we can say, you know, we didn't find a direct study to correlate HIIT training and
reducing risk of neurodegenerative disease.
Right. However, they can deduce because we're kind of, you know, helping with that increased blood flow, that circulatory system up into the brain,
yeah.
well, then we're going to help oxygen and still power the brain in
Those
that
studies
way.
Are really hard to do because you'd need to follow people for 20 yeah. to 30 years and
doing the same thing,
doing the same exercises yeah. or, yeah. you know, retrospectively look back. Did you do HIIT training?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
did these people? So again, it's hard to get definitive studies to say that, but because we can deduce from the physiologic benefit of increased oxygen yes. delivery, increased lymphatic flow, increased, you know, delivery of the blood around the body with lower blood pressure, better working heart, like it only makes sense to me to say that we're likely putting ourselves at less of a risk, or, you know, just setting our body up better to mm-hmm. be able to deal with whatever it encounters in the future. And again, there you have it. We've talked about musculoskeletal system, circulatory system, our metabolic system, lymphatic system, neurologic system, so many benefits that can come from doing HIIT workout, and it doesn't have to be long. The last thing about the neurologic system was that it said was that it's not time dependent. You don't have to be doing HIIT workouts for 30 minutes. Like even if you do 10 minutes of high intensity training, you're going to see that increase in the brain derived neurotrophic factor, mm-hmm. you know. So even short intervals, short amount of times, getting your body to a high level of intense work, you're going to see benefits.
And again, you know, and the number one thing I will say when it comes to HIIT workouts that people are afraid of is getting injured.
Yeah.
And they already have knee pain. I can't do jumps. I can't do different things. Well, we want to help to prevent those knee pain, but also improve that knee pain or any yeah. pain that is happening throughout the body and prevent potential joint replacements or help you thrive after a joint replacement. And this doesn't just include just muscular strength training, but also including that power. And that's really what we're doing in Roll Into mm-hmm. HIIT. Especially when you're with me, like, trust me, I got you. We have so many modifications and progressions based on whatever level you feel yeah. comfortable with. And there's actually an assessment that you can do to follow, to figure out, okay, who am I following through each of these videos? So I know exactly who I'm looking at and exactly what I'm doing as I'm going through the videos.
Yeah. I mean, I sat and watched the filming of the whole thing and it got me very excited. The rollouts that Jill does and the myofascial release and the work that you get to do in your body. Again, and you learn how to use it effectively. So yeah. many people will grab a foam roller or a tool at a gym and I don't feel like everyone exactly knows how to best use it to, you know, directed towards your goals. Mm-hmm. And what Jill does is she has them specifically tailored to the workout that's going to be done. We're hitting the body parts to prep them for the work they're about to do. And then you're recovering afterwards to downregulate the system. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're interested in getting in that, the link is down in the show notes. We hope you join and we hope you start training your body in a way to get all the benefits that we just talked through.
Yeah. And we're going to help you to understand how you can really use these tools that Jill and I teach you to start to implement it into your own workouts and your own, you know, beyond the program. Like, how can I start to do this on my own? And how can I really yeah. build a HIIT program or a myofascial release? And what am I using it for? And what does that mean? You know, so we want to give you the tools. There's so much bonus content that also comes within the course. And again, it's something that I could talk about forever because I'm so passionate about it. It's what yeah. I've been doing for so long now. I've always done HIIT workouts and strength training. I love it. And I hope that you will come join and just get a feel for what this could be like within your body.
Thanks for joining us for another PT Pearl from the Optimal Body Podcast. If you want to check out Roll Into HIIT, go down to the link in the show notes. Get into that program. Again, you heard all the benefits. It's to your benefit to truly dive into high intensity work and feel the difference in your body. If you've really been enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving us a rate and review on your favorite podcasting platform, and we'll see you next time.